Well, good morning. It is nice to see all of you make it back out this week. Hopefully everybody's had a good week leading up to today. If you brought your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke this morning for a little bit. We're going to start in Luke chapter 5 is going to be our first text this morning. While you're turning there, I just did want to take a minute. I hope up to this point that our study in our class has been beneficial. I understand that not everybody's in the same place at all times. We're all in different places with our walk with God. And sometimes maybe certain classes may not seem that there might be for us. But I have to say, as I've been putting this class together in this study, it has given me a lot of time as I study through the week. A lot of things have come to my mind. It has brought some gentle reminders, if you will, things that we know we should be doing that maybe we're kind of slacking on a little bit. So that has certainly encouraged me. And it's also shown me some areas of my life that I need some work, some things that I need to grow in and move forward with. But I have been told from time to time that I can be a little harsh, that I can be a little blunt. So I just wanted to make sure that I want to present this class in a way that's encouraging and not discouraging. I don't want this class to come across that we're pointing fingers, that we as a church need a lot of work on our evangelism. I don't want us to come across that way. Again, these are just topics to help us gather our thoughts, help us get our minds focused, because we are trying to grow in Jesus and let him impact our lives. So again, I hope you are encouraged with these classes so far, and I hope that you look forward to them as much as I do. So we're moving on with evangelism. We have been on this topic now for a while. Again, we're not approaching evangelism with regards to methodology per se. What we are striving for, again, is to let Jesus work in our lives. We are trying to get to the point where just our natural state of being, how we live, our actions, our attitudes, just push us into an evangelistic frame of mind. That's what we're trying to work toward. That's what we're trying to grow toward. So as we go through these classes, again, remember that we're not necessarily looking for the how-to side of evangelism, okay? We started this topic last week. We're looking at our approach. When we talk about evangelism, for me, myself personally, approach always comes up as the first question because it's a worry. It's scary. How do I approach the individual? Am I going to say or do something wrong? Sometimes the approach can detour us from just being evangelistic by nature. For some, it's a little more natural than others. For myself personally, approaching individuals isn't something natural to me. It's something that I got to work on a daily basis. And what we're trying to do is we're learning this from Jesus. We want to learn our approach from Jesus. So we started this class last week, and we're having dinner with Jesus, if you weren't here. What we're doing is looking at passages where we find Jesus in the home. Jesus is at home with an individual. He's going to sit down and have dinner. And what we want to do is get into Jesus' mindset. What is it that Jesus is doing? How is it that he is approaching each and every situation? Okay? Who better to learn from than the person that mastered and perfected his ministry, right? Who better to learn from than the individual that could approach any situation and was approachable himself at any point in time? Which is what we are going for. That's what we're trying to grow into and push ourselves toward, is that same mindset and that same way that Jesus approached his ministry and evangelism. Each class, we want to look at three questions, okay? What was Jesus' approach? As we look at these events that are recorded for us, as we read these passages, we want to pull out how it is that Jesus approached the situation, how Jesus approached the individual that he was going to work with. And we want to see, why was it impactful? As Jesus comes into these situations, we're going to see what methods it is and the approach that Jesus took, and why was it so impactful to the person that he interacted with? Why was his ministry so effective? And then again, would it still work today? We want to look at that question. If it worked for Jesus, it was impactful for Jesus. If we use the same approaches, would it be effective for us today? Would it help our evangelism be impactful? So those are the three questions that we want to look at as we go through these studies. We started this study last week. We'll do it this week, and we'll probably have one more next week. But we started last week with Zacchaeus. Remember, we were in Luke chapter 19 last week. Jesus was going to go to Zacchaeus' house. And as we read through the passage in Luke 19, this story of Zacchaeus, we found two approaches that Jesus had with regards to his evangelism and his ministry. The first one being Jesus was always on the lookout, right? Jesus is always on the lookout for the opportunity. And as we look at making our evangelism more effective and our outreach more effective, are we always on the lookout? Every opportunity that God puts in front of us. And then Jesus understood, number two, time. And time on two fronts. Time with regards to using the opportunity that was put in front of him right then and there. Okay? He wanted to use that opportunity. And two, Jesus understood that he needed to give his own time. It's one thing to understand that when the opportunity is put in front of us that we need to utilize that, but are we willing to give of our own time? Which is what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. You remember, Jesus was just passing through. Jesus had somewhere to be, something to do. Okay? So he's going to stop what he's doing. He says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. I'm not waiting till tomorrow. And the impact that that had on Zacchaeus, why it was so effective in Jesus' approach. Because what Zacchaeus found out is he was looking for Jesus, he understood Jesus was looking for him as well. Jesus gives Zacchaeus some assurance and some hope that, hey, I'm looking for this Jesus, but guess what? Jesus is trying to find me too. And Zacchaeus understood that. And then again, when someone is looking, when Zacchaeus was searching, he's trying to see this Jesus. And the effectiveness of Jesus saying, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to give you my time today. I'm going to give you of myself right now. That's effective. I think we've all been in that position where we're looking. We want to find something. We need something. How discouraging is it when you hear, catch me next week. Come find me tomorrow. Maybe I can help you then. If I need help today, I need help today, not tomorrow. So Jesus gave that. So our text this morning, hopefully you're in Luke chapter 5 already. We're going to look at two passages this morning. The first one, fairly short set of scripture, and on the surface may not look like there's a whole lot there. But our second passage is a little bit longer. But I'm hoping what we'll find as we go through these, we're going to find a couple of similarities, and we're going to find a couple of differences. So we're going to read these passages. We want to dive into them and see what we can find. So let's start in Luke chapter 5 this morning, starting in verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's Jesus. He goes and finds Levi, Matthew as we know him, sitting and doing his job. He's at his tax booth, and Jesus seeks out Matthew. He says, Come follow me. I need you. Come be my disciple. And Levi leaves everything behind, follows him. He's going to have this big dinner at his house for Jesus, and who comes along? These guys seem to get in the way every time. Here's these Pharisees, right? What's the gripe? It's not what they would have done. Why are you eating with sinners, Jesus? Why are you hanging out with these tax collectors? Society's untouchables. Why are you here? And Jesus says, again, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He says, I'm looking for the sinners to repent. Let's go over to Luke chapter 7. This is our longer passage this morning. Again, I think you'll see several similarities in these two passages. Starting in verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Here's Jesus again having dinner. Again, who's in the picture? We got our Pharisees here again, right? What is Simon's response to this sinful woman? "Jesus, what are you doing? If you knew what type of a person this was, you wouldn't be giving her the time of day. Why are you talking to this sinful woman, Jesus?" And Jesus explains to Simon, he asks him this question about who's going to love the individual more that forgives debt. And Simon's got that one figured out, right? That's an easy question. Hey, if I owe you $1,000 and this guy owes you $1, and you tell me don't worry about it, believe me, I'm going to love you. And the point that Jesus is making to Simon is you have this preconceived notion. You've got this idea, right, that you don't need the forgiveness. You got it figured out. You're one of the good people. But this woman, Simon, this woman is looking for Jesus. And our difference between our two stories, again, we've got our similarities, right? We've got this Pharisees. They've got this idea about the sinful person. And Jesus has the same idea with regards to both of them. They both need to be forgiven. They both need Jesus. Our only difference is we find Jesus seeking out Matthew. I don't know if Matthew was looking for him. Our text doesn't tell us that. Our text says Jesus went and found Matthew. And in our second story, it's this woman who is coming to find Jesus. And as we go through our evangelism, as we are out in the world, those are the two types that we're going to encounter, right? Are we going to go seek out those that may not necessarily be looking for Jesus? And at the same time, we might have interaction with those that are seeking Jesus. And we have to understand how we are going to approach both situations. So the approach. As we read this, I want to pull three things out this morning. We'll talk about them real quick, and then we will open up our discussion and turn class over to you. Jesus saw value. When Jesus goes out to his ministry, and when Jesus is out evangelizing, the one thing Jesus sees is value in every soul. There is something of value. As we go back to the book of Genesis, we read that we are created in God's image. If we are created in God's image, it means we must hold some kind of value to God, right? And what Jesus understands as he goes out into the world, it doesn't matter what the situation, it doesn't matter who the individual is, they hold value, their soul is important, which leads into Jesus is where he needs to be. Regardless of the stigma, regardless of the world, regardless of society, regardless of these Pharisees and these stories that say these are the people that you're not supposed to deal with, Jesus. These are the individuals that, again, society says are the untouchables. They don't deserve Jesus. Jesus says no. Every soul is of value, and I don't care what society tells me. I'm going to be where I need to be. And I'm going to minister to those that I need to. And finally, we see Jesus in this grace that Jesus offers. Regardless of the individual's past, regardless of their current situation, Jesus offers grace to anybody that wants it. Anybody that wants to receive it. So that's the approach. So our value. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Again, we'll get through these kind of quick so we can have some discussion. Matthew chapter 6, we have our do not worry passage. We all know about the worry. Starting in verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus says, you hold value to me. And if God is willing to take care of the birds of the air, how much more is God going to take care of us? Jesus understands the value. Over in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is going to send out the 12. Starting in verse 29, again, the same similar kind of idea, right? Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Here's two birds, worthless, cost you a penny. Are they not sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We hold a value to God. Our souls hold a value to Jesus. And Jesus understood that. In every walk of his life, that's what Jesus was pushing for. You are important. I want you with me. And then Matthew 12. Again, Jesus is going to find himself in trouble with guess who? Right? He's going to work on the Sabbath. He's going to do the work of God on the Sabbath. He finds himself engaged in this conversation about doing good. They're going to ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful, Jesus, for you to be doing your work on the Sabbath? And in verse 11, he said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus says, my work never stops. You are of such value to me. And if you would do the smallest of things for the smallest of animals, Why wouldn't you do that for a person? If they were in trouble, they needed healing. I don't care what day it is. Because you are valuable to me. Jesus was there.